Welcome back to the Front Stretch Podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Davey Siegel. He had a shot to win before not one, but two speeding penalties thwarted his efforts this past weekend in the Xfinity Series. Daniel Hemric is on with us to talk about his race at Pocono, as well as his season and confidence that he has at JGR. Plus, everybody's favorite Zach Sterniolo, who is at Pocono this weekend, joins me to break all the action down. Let's get this episode started.
Buggity, buggity, buggity! Let's go racing, boys!
Green flag is out on the Front Stretch Podcast this week. Let's bring in the man, the myth, the legend, Zach Sterniolo, who was there for all five races this past weekend at Pocono. Now, you've been going there pretty much your whole childhood and adult life, Zach, as a media member and as a fan. I've never been there. I've watched almost every single race at Pocono ever. These two cup races that we had on Saturday and Sunday, I don't know about you, but that's probably some of, if not the best racing I've ever seen at Pocono.
I honestly can't agree more. And what I also love is the fact that while we got two races in the same weekend this week, we got, I felt, what were two very different races on both days. I felt like Saturday, while we still had fuel strategy on Saturday, it was a lot more. There was a lot of on-track action. You had a lot of side-by-side racing. You had some cautions for incidents, which I think are always a plus, to be honest with you, because that shows that the drivers are on edge. And then on Sunday, of course, it was pretty purely fuel strategy-based. And both days resulted in just awesome finishes, compelling finishes, great racing. And, you know, maybe it's the recency bias, but I dare I say Saturday's Pocono race was the best Pocono race I've ever seen?
Dare you say?
Dare I? I don't know.
But, I don't know.
I mean, it was some great action. And there was great racing all 3 days, I felt like. You had a solid competitive ARCA race on Friday, which we can't always say a lot this year, especially with Ty Gibbs on the entry list, right?
He didn't even win.
No. He blocked himself into Chandler Smith, although he might see it a little differently. And, you know, two great races on Saturday with trucks in the Cup Series, two great races on Sunday with Xfinity and Cup Series. So all around what I thought was a great weekend at Pocono Raceway.
Here's the thing. We had fuel strategy, check. Tire strategy, check. They didn't fall off, but there was still strategy in how many you changed over pit stops. You had different suspects up front. You had an invert to make for those different suspects running up front. I'm not sure what else you want out of a race. And I'm not a 750 truther, as Jeff Gluck would say on the teardown. I'm not a truther, but I'm a 750 stan, I guess you could say, because I like to see slip and sliding, all that kind of stuff.
Count me in on that, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. You're a 750 stan as well. Not a truther, but a stan.
Correct.
So this is a 550 weekend, and I'm not going to go out of my way to hate 550 races because I don't. I don't like the package as much as I like 750, but I don't know what more else you could want as a race fan from this weekend's cup races. Like, it had pretty much everything, especially when you look at it through the lens of Pocono, which used to be 500 miles. Oh, my God. Used to be boring. So, so boring. And this one was action-packed, less than 400 miles each race, right? Like, it was so action-packed, concise enough, but you still got your money's worth, especially with the doubleheader. I don't know what more a fan could want out of the cup races this weekend. I don't. Do you?
No, I really don't. And especially, we've talked a lot in recent years about shortening cup series races. I think this year was just another, or this weekend rather, was another example of why that's a good direction to go. I don't feel like we got any less excitement. If anything, I think we got more excitement because there's less time for the drivers to figure it out. I think that's been a benefit for the Truck Series for a long time. I feel like that's been a benefit for the Xfinity Series for a long time. Cup Series races have been historically too long. I feel like the cut to 400 miles at a lot of places has been good, could even be better at a lot of places. We've seen it at New Hampshire come down to 300. Dover still feels pretty long at 400. Pocono, you touched on it before, went to 400 miles when they repaved this racetrack in 2012. Went shorter even last year when we got the first doubleheader with 325 on Saturday, 350 on Sunday. Same deal this weekend, and I think it worked for the better this time around.
Phoenix went from 500 miles or whatever to 500 kilometers or something like that, right? I mean, tracks are doing this, and sometimes they do it with the marketing and the branding of it because they want a big number in the name. But unless you're the Daytona 500, the Coke 600, or the Southern 500, there is no reason why you should have a 500-mile race. Period. End of story. I wrote about it in NASCAR Mailbox this week. Zach and I, we are in agreement on that. Let's talk about the winners. Saturday, Kyle Larson looks like he's going to roll to four in a row, as usual. Coming down to the end of it, I haven't shown you my TikTok this week, but I feel like you'll like my Larson reenactment.
I always do.
Yes, I know. You're a stan. I appreciate you for that. And Alex Bowman comes out of nowhere. Not really, because he was leading, and then Larson finally got by, but he grabs the win. Was he lucky? Absolutely. But was he in the right position to capitalize when the chaos happened? Absolutely. And I feel like we should maybe consider Alex Bowman the new closer, because Richmond leads the last 10 laps. Bowman, Dover, leads the last 100 laps after he got by Larson. And Pocono happened. So he's got three wins this year, all with last second late race heroics.
Yeah, it's amazing to see, isn't it? Because forever, Alex Bowman was known as Bad Luck Bowman, and he acknowledged that as much in his press conference after the race. So to see him on the other side of this, really, for each of his last two wins, you know, obviously there's skill involved in his pit crew getting him out ahead of Larson at Dover, which was the last race you and I were at together. That pit crew got him off pit road first, and then that clean air was what propelled him to that win. This week, it was right place, right time. Greg Ives did yet another masterful job using the strategy to get Alex up front to set sail on that last restart, and held Larson off for way longer than I think even they expected to be able to. Again, absolutely, did he get lucky? For sure. You can't bank on Kyle Larson blowing the left front tire on the last corner of the last lap.
No, you cannot.
Right, and especially when we hadn't seen any other tire failures all day. So exactly. That's pure luck. But he was in the right place at the right time. And that goes back to what a lot of people have said. You got to create your own luck. And that's exactly what that 48 team did this week, on Saturday at least.
And then you fast forward to the next day on Sunday, and Kyle Busch did something that's not supposed to be done, which is you win a race with the car stuck in fourth gear. That's not supposed to happen, right? I mean, when a guy goes into your car through the passenger window, tries to fix the shifter, fix the transmission, doesn't really do it, just not his fault, just couldn't really do it because it was something internal, that's when you say, okay, our day's probably over. Because you saw how slow he was at for the outlap when he was pitting under green, and you're like, yeah, he's losing too much ground, not going to happen. And then in a way, them coming back down pit road on the last pit stop to try to fix it one more time, getting that drip of fuel that they needed, that winds up giving Kyle Busch enough fuel that he needed. He saved enough as well. And as Denny Hamlin, William Byron, Kurt Busch, Brad Keselowski, Daniel Suarez, as everybody runs out of fuel with the lap to go, here comes the Candyman, wins again at Pocono, the fourth time in his career, second time this year. And man, he was in rare form in his post-race press conference. I love happy Kyle Busch. I'm sure you did too when you were asking him questions.
Very much so. It was a lot different than the last time we went to Pocono when I asked about package questions. That wasn't great.
Stop asking me package questions. I don't want to talk about it. Next.
Yeah, no, none of that this time, thank God. Seriously, just to put a bow on that, I mean, he was excellent in his post-race. Went in-depth describing how he had to drive, what the symptoms of the transmission issues were, how he had to adjust to it. And I don't know, it was just great to hear his insight, because when he is in that good mood, when he is willing to talk to you about kind of just the way everything unfolded, he is one of the best interviews in the sport. And I don't think enough people know or appreciate that. And I get it, because we're a lot more used to sore loser Kyle. But I think that kind of just highlights and underscores just how passionate he is about winning, which I feel like should be commended at this point in his career. The way that unfolded, you know, he was able to save enough. He was also, I think what a lot of fans may not immediately think about was he was the fourth car in that four car pack and able to draft right up, save a little bit more fuel that way. Mm-hmm. While you had guys like Hamlin ahead of him, I believe Kurt Busch maybe was another one. And so from there, he's able to save a little bit more fuel, run those other guys out of fuel, and just kind of watch them peel off like flies.
See, here's my thing. We're done talking about Kyle after this. I just got to say. So he wins an Xfinity race at, I forget where it was. It was a couple weeks ago. And I asked him the first question in the press conference. And I was like, I saw you spit out your rowdy energy like Kyle Larson did the week before. Was that like an homage to Kyle or something? And he gave me like a really a-hole answer. And I was like, you just won. So I thought you're not supposed to be in a bad mood. So maybe that's why he still blocks me on Twitter after all these years. I don't know.
Wait, hold up. Are you actually blocked by Kyle Busch on Twitter?
Yeah. Yeah, I have been for, I guess, 10 years at this point. Because I think what happened, I'm not positive, but I think I talked crap to him at Darlington after he hit Kevin Harvick on pit road. That's when I was a Kevin Harvick fanboy, and he probably blocked me then. And I've been blocked ever since.
That's honestly, that's impressive on Kyle's part, just to like not even think a second time about it. That's fantastic. that's rough. But yeah, no, I also asked him that package question after he had won at Pocono. So, I mean, winning doesn't cure all. I've learned
it's a rite of passage, I think, for us.
It is 100%. It is.
I was honored that he was an asshole to me. I'm not even joking. like afterwards, I wasn't even, I'm serious. I wasn't even mad. I was literally like, wow, it took me this long to get an asshole response from Kyle. I kind of feel good about that.
I was the same way at Pocono in 19 because I was, you know, he's like, stop asking me package questions. I'm done answering them. Next. And I was like, okay, just handed the mic off and just called it a day. I didn't realize everyone else in the media center was laughing their ass off at it at the time. And, you know, Jeff is coming on Twitter to defend me. Jeff Gluck is. That was, and then Claire B. Lang has asked me to come on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio to talk about it. So that was a weekend.
It's Zach Sterniello's world, party people. We're all just living in it. Isn't that right?
I said, if you say so, I'm not going to argue you.
All right, stick around, buddy. Let's get a quick stage break out of the way and let's chat with Daniel Hemric. What do you say?
Let's do it.
This week's stage break is brought to you by Nobody Yet for the 22nd time in a row. But for the 22nd time in a row, I'm being told that we're working on it. So if you'd like to advertise with us, please hit us up. Advertising's wide open here on the Front Stretch Pod. Always has been. Always will be. Well, hopefully not always, but it has been. So hit us up. Kevin Deedy, DDK37 at gmail.com. If you'd like to associate your brand with ours, contact Kevin Deedy, DDK37 at gmail.com. Let's throw it over to our interview with Daniel Hemric, driver of the 18 Xfinity Series Toyota Supra for Joe Gibbs Racing. Talked about a lot of different things, including his race this past Sunday at Pocono. Again, not one, but two speeding penalties, Zach. Two speeding penalties. He could have won the race. He had race-winning speed. Alas, it was not meant to be for him. Also chatted about the confidence that he has this year at Joe Gibbs Racing, and Dave Rogers, as crew chief, has instilled that in him. Plus, what's the next trip that he and Bubba Wallace are going to take together? Because that's kind of a cool bromance that I don't think is talked about enough in the NASCAR garage. Here's our chat with Joe Gibbs Racing's Daniel Hemric. Pleasure to welcome on to the show this week, Daniel Hemric, driver of the number 18 Poppy Bank Toyota Supra for Joe Gibbs Racing, coming off of a sixth place finish at Pocono this weekend. Me, oh my, does that not tell the full story? You had a race-winning car, sped twice on pit road. Come on, Daniel. What are we doing out there? What was that, a driver error? Was that something with the lights? What was the deal?
Yeah, that's a loaded question. For sure, the weekend didn't play out according to plan. We definitely made it a lot harder on ourselves than it should have been. But after going through the motions, you know, we were fortunate to get a pass down pit road there pre-race. You know, the NASCARs, when we don't have practice, they let us do that. Let me tell you, we're always aggressive, right? Like, I will take pride in saying I feel like we're probably one of the best teams from a pit crew standpoint, from me rolling my lights, making the most on rolling time, and to Dave Rogers and my engineer George on getting our lights set. So take a ton of pride in that. And whenever we rolled down pit road this week at Pocono, I was fast, like really fast, and a lot of sessions speed, and I'm like, well, hang on, that's my lights. So we backed up one light, thought we'd be fine, and then came down pit road the very first time and didn't speed, but I was also following people. The next time I was leading a pack down pit road, our first speed penalty there near the end of stage two, and thought I gave enough back, and it wasn't. So then took some more off and sped again under green. So after getting back, I know, long way to answer your question, but after getting back and going through motions, we found out their attack was 0.3 mile an hour different than what we set it, which I delayed how much I was giving back. And I was very hard on myself for sure after the race. And after Dave Rogers, my crew chief, heard me say that two or three times, he pulled me aside aggressively away from everybody. Said, he said, man, let me tell you, I don't want to hear it anymore. He said, you run the lights I tell you to run. That's what you did. We reviewed the cameras. You did exactly what I told you to do. And we missed it. This ain't on you. And make sure, I want that to be known. You don't have to throw us under the bus, but I'm telling you what happened. And I said, I can appreciate that. And we roll on, we stay aggressive.
Well, that's what we're talking about. I mean, every single team, every single driver, crew chief, mechanic, pit crew member, you guys, like you said, you push the limit. That's what you got to do. We've seen it across motorsports for as long as anybody can remember. So as Dave said, you know, you did exactly what you were supposed to do, what you were told to do. And it wasn't necessarily any one person's fault. It's a product of a big behemoth team that has race winning speed, trying to get every single inch and every single ounce that they possibly can. And when you do that, stuff like this is probably bound to happen.
No, guaranteed, guaranteed. It's competition. We all flirt with that line of trying to get the advantage we can. And when you're flirting with those lines, you're going to step over them. So I take pride in knowing the speed we had, our Poppy Mac Toyota Supra. I have no regrets in that sense. We missed that one particular part of the execution this week, and it cost us what we believe from carrying a trophy out of there. So the good thing is, hopefully that's a sign of many, many good things that come for this race team. It was fun to drive fast cars.
It is, and that was a positive that you were able to take out of this weekend, that you did have race-winning speed, and it's not the first time that you guys have had race-winning speed and have led laps and run up front on a consistent basis this year. So even though the result wasn't necessarily what you guys wanted, to rebound from, again, not one but two speeding penalties at a track where if you lose a lot of time, especially under green, your day is pretty much shot. Honestly, rebounding for almost what was a top five finish, you finish in sixth place. I know it doesn't feel like a win, but on paper, when you look at everything from a 30,000-foot view, that's a really damn good rebound, and you guys worked hard for it.
Oh, I appreciate that. I'll tell you, we didn't get a yellow. That's the other part of that, right? It was straight time. We got busted, and I think Dave Rogers said it best. He says, man, we rolled down pit road. We spotted the field 25 seconds rolling down pit road. We bottomed another 20 positions. You come back on the racetrack 31 seconds behind the leader, and you finished 16 and a half seconds off the leader's bumper.
Yeah.
The proof is good, and I'm proud of that. We roll on.
That's right. That's right. And this season overall, right? I mean, you're doing pretty well. You got six top fives, 10 top 10 finishes. So, right, you haven't gotten the win yet. It's coming. It's a law of averages type of thing. And obviously, you didn't see Twitter during the race when you got those speeding penalties, but everybody is just saying, what does Daniel Hemric got to do to get some luck around here? I mean, seriously, we got to get the guy a rabbit's foot or something, because he just has no luck on his side. But to know that you guys do have that speed week in and week out, you guys do prepare your cars every single week that have race-winning speed. You've won stages. You're accumulating playoff points. You got good information to feed off of with your teammates. That's got to give you some confidence heading into the last bit of the regular season here leading up to the playoffs that you guys – can get victories, and it's going to happen sooner rather than later, right?
Yeah, I mean, I want to address that first off with, I think I've waited a long time for the luck to change, and quite frankly, I'm done waiting on it, right? I'm just going to go take it. There's nothing or no other way I can go about it at this point. I think myself and everyone on our 18 team feels the same way, and as far as preparing race cars, you know, I signed my contract with Joe Gibbs Racing to go win races and go continue lead laps, win stages, and do all the things that you have to do to be a championship caliber team and to be a contender. And we've done all but, you know, we've checked all but every one of those boxes. There's two left, and that's win races the regular season as well as races in the playoffs and lead to hopefully what's a championship come into November. So that's where we're at with it. I think and firmly believe as a race team, we are literally stronger every single lap we run together and communicate. The cool part about it is I see it up and down pit road. I see that our competitors are taking notice of it. I see that the other drivers are taking notice of it. That's fun. They know where we're at. They know we're coming.
It's got to be a good feeling. Have you ever had that feeling before?
Not in my NASCAR stuff, no. I know coming up short track racing, especially my later tenure of, you know, super late model racing, we unloaded, they knew they were going to have to beat me. And That was a good feeling. Literally makes a hair on my arm stand up because I know that's where I'm at for the first time in my career in a long time.
It's got to be a damn good feeling. So let's talk about your team a little bit. JGR, you've obviously spent time with different teams in your NASCAR career, RCR at the Cup level, and Xfinity, BKR back down in the Truck Series days. Compared to the other teams that you've been with and the other organizations that you've spent time with before, what stands out about JGR? Is it the preparation? Is it the people? Is it the resources that you're afforded? Is it all of that confluence of things coming together? Because clearly everybody that spends time at Toyota with Joe Gibbs Racing always says one thing, that it's probably one of, if not the best places that they've ever driven.
Yeah, it truly has been just a completely different experience. First off, you know, I have been incredibly fortunate, and I don't take one of the opportunities I had for granted, whether it be BKR, RCR, heck, NTS before that, JRM. I mean, yeah, all the places and folks that were involved and give me those shots and the manufacturers that gave me those shots, it took every one of them going out on a limb, right, to give me an opportunity for my career to change directions and climb that we all try to climb and be successful at. But I don't know, from walking into Dave Rogers' office the first time to seeing the tools and resources and things that he has to utilize for his car builds, for his personnel, you know, for managing his people and the people on our race team, through the pipeline of all the stuff he has at his fingertips. And then that's on one side of it. But then on the other side, there's Toyota and, you know, TRD, Toyota Race Right. Development. You know, I mean, they're supplying us with our own personal gym, trainers, nutritionists, doctors, therapy, whatever we need.
Anything you need, literally.
How much do you want to get out of this? And you get as much out of it as you ask and as much out of it as you put in. And, you know, my entire life I've been all in, right? I heard Ty Gibbs say at the end of his post race, you had to be married to this to be good at it. I heard him say that after the Pocono race. And I thought, man, that's true. You ain't been married very long. I've been married at this game a long time. I know I put the work in. I know I put the time in. It's just a matter of it all coming together. And I think this is it.
Just hope Kenzie doesn't hear this. We'll hope that she's not listening to that. But it's true. I mean, you do got to be married to it. And Ty has not been married to it nearly as long as you and your crew chief as well, Dave Rogers. You mentioned him a couple times. He's worked with countless legends, right? Kyle Busch, Carl Edwards, Daniel Suarez, the late Jason Leffler, Denny Hamlin for a little bit even, Tony Stewart for a couple races here and there. And he clearly has a leadership quality to him still throughout all those years because, you know, if a crew chief was not confident in their abilities and their, you know, skill set to build a race car and to lead a team, they wouldn't pull their driver aside forcefully, as you said, and say, look, you did nothing wrong. You did exactly what I told you to do. Let's move on. So what has it been like to work with a guy like Dave, who's been around the block more than a time or two, has won races, has contended for championships, and now he gets to use his expertise and put it to the test with you?
Oh, it's like I said, an experience like no other. I am so thankful that Dave Rogers has come into my life to play this role as crew chief, but also be, you know, short of your wife, that's what that crew chief role is, right? I mean, it's
got to be married to it.
Constantly communicating. You're trying to figure out what makes each other tick, what buttons to push, not push, and when to push them. And Dave has experienced so much of that with so many different personality types over the years and always found the way to make a click with, you know, damn near every one of them. You know, I was a huge Carl Edwards fan growing up, so it's been cool for him to kind of relay some of his and Carl's relationship with me and how he just said it. Literally, we sat together flying back from Pocono. He's like, man, so you and Carl remind me so much of one another. Wow. He gave one particular difference between the two of us, which I found pretty interesting. But my point is that he's so open to talk about his past experiences that he's learned from, and he applies every one of those experiences, good and bad, to every relationship mm-hmm. he formed going forward. And we've both been able to use our past experience to build our relationship, build our chemistry. And, you know, I think single-handedly is one of the best things that's ever happened to me in my racing career. Just the way he can drive confidence into me, the way he can make me feel like, you know, when I roll off pit road every week, you know, he beats it in my brain that I'm the best one there. And I think slowly but surely he's getting the best out of me, and there's still a lot left to get.
Very high praise. So we know one thing that you and Carl are similar with, that's obviously the patented backflip, but I'm curious, what is the one thing that Dave thinks is very opposite? If you feel comfortable sharing, what's that one thing?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel very comfortable sharing that. He says the one thing that stuck out to him was Carl's never going to get out of the car and ask what right rear spring's in the car. And I will. He said Carl didn't really care the way he grew up. And I don't want to speak for him, Carl, that is, but I guess growing up, he drove so many different vehicles. You never really had time to get set in certain things or feels or whatever you want. And I shared, Dave knows my background, that I was the guy making the changes and what I wanted to feel. So that made me more in tune with that stuff. And that's just the part of your wiring, right? Some of your wiring that makes up how you think and how you go about a race weekend. Outside of that, he thought there's a lot of similarities.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different drivers that actually have set up race cars in their past careers and past lives. And then there's some guys that just sit in the seat and do their thing and don't really care one way or another. So thank you for sharing that. That's pretty cool. All right, last thing, and I'll let you run. I know you and Kenzie, you're close with Bubba and Amanda. I know you guys go on some vacations every now and then. Didn't you guys take a road trip like all the way out west, hit up some national parks and stuff? That looked pretty sweet.
Yeah, man, that was a great time. Bubba and Amanda, great friends of ours. And for the last handful of years, we've picked a spot to go, together as a group, a couple of others involved as well. And with, the pandemic, whatnot, there wasn't a whole lot of stuff we could do or extravagant places we could go.
Yeah.
Phoenix last year, not Homestead, following Phoenix last year. And we chose neither one of us had ever actually driven our buses, our motorhome. So checker flag falls for his cup race on Sunday. I'd raced the day before and he jumped in behind the wheel of his. I jumped in the wheel behind mine. And here we off, the five of us, including our little girl, Wren, and our two dogs, his dog and my Kenzie's dog. And we head off. Actually, we were going towards like the western side of the Grand Canyon to start the trip. And before we pulled out of the parking lot there, the racetrack, Kenzie stops, put the trip on hold immediately before we left the parking lot, says, hey, there's a little problem. So they just got like 2.5 feet of snow where we're supposed to be going tonight. Great catch, first of all. Way to be on it, my wife. And then we regrouped and changed our plans some. And man, we were able to go see some incredible places and eventually travel back east through my wife's hometown of El Reno, Oklahoma. Spent Thanksgiving there and continue the trip back here in North Carolina. So a lot of memories made, a lot of really, really cool stuff we got to see. And something we all like to do is make memories. We made a bunch of them.
Might not have been the safest thing, but I think I would have paid good money to see you and Bubba, who have never driven their motorhomes before, do it in 2 feet of snow for the first time. That would have been appointment viewing.
Yeah, it was pretty comical. I'm glad we didn't go through that much snow, but the next day we still ran into snow going to our next place that we had skipped on our trip. Oh, and man, it was pretty sketchy, but it all makes for a good story.
Yeah. All right. So where's the next trip? Where can I meet you guys?
Oh, man, I think the world's kind of getting back to normal. We were a little disappointed. Pre-pandemic, we had talked about, we got word that this 2-week off break was coming, in 2021 and all this stuff for the Olympics. I guess that would have been last year, but whatever it was,
right,
we were heading to the trip. We're ready to go to Greece or go that direction and spend some time. And obviously the world taking a hit, it did, but it changed direction. So yeah, I don't know yet. That's still to be determined, but I'm sure there's a lot of really cool spots on our list in the years to come.
Well, sounds good, Daniel. Thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it. Best of luck down the road this in the Xfinity Series season as we head into the playoffs. I know we'll be seeing you in Victory Land and running up front soon. And we're going to get a backflip when you do win, right? Like, it's going to happen.
That's the plan. I might have one in me. I can't promise it'll be repeated.
Okay.
But thought about long enough. I'm ready to do one at least.
A for effort. Just make sure there's some grass. We don't want any concrete or asphalt situations.
Got to commit, man. I'm ready.
Okay. All right. Well, don't come to me when you crack your skull open, all right?
I hear you.
Thanks, man. Appreciate the time.
Appreciate it. See ya.
White flag is out on the Front Stretch podcast. Want to give a big thank you, as always, to Daniel for the time and also Tyler Overstreet at JGR for helping coordinate that conversation. Let's bring back Zach Sterniolo to the conversation here. You were at Pocono. I know you wish you'd be at Road America this weekend for some beer, some brats, some cheese curds, some fireworks, some fast cars. I mean, that's going to be a hell of a 4th of July celebration, and the race itself is on the 4th, so that's a big-time deal.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And does it get any better than racing at a place called Road America on America's birthday? Honestly.
Austin Cindric said as much.
Right, right. And I think he got that from my column, the Big Six column that I wrote. Because, I mean, I said the same thing there.
He definitely reads front stretch.
That's exactly what happened there. That's exactly what happened there.
For sure.
No, but I mean, this weekend, I'm really looking forward to it. A, it's a new venue in a lot of ways to the Cup Series. They have raced at Road America once before, but I mean,
it was 1956. I didn't even know that happened up until this year. So
Yeah, exactly. So you get a historic venue. You get it's going to be an electric weekend. I'm really excited to see what happens here at Road America. A lot to look forward to. Great Xfinity races over the years. Should be an equally exciting Cup race.
I'm all for Road America on July 4th weekend. I'm all for new venues. I'm all for switching things up. However, the one thing I'm not sure is beneficial for the sport long term is to keep switching out the July 4th race weekend. And I'm not saying we should go back to Daytona, because I think NASCAR's found a gold mine in putting that as a regular season finale. But one year we had Daytona. We had Indianapolis last year. Now we have Road America. This is not necessarily a crown jewel event or a crown jewel weekend, but it is one of those marquee weekends that you think about when you think of NASCAR. You think of, oh, America, July 4th, fireworks, fast cars. Hell yeah, that's fun. I feel like NASCAR needs to find a place to keep this weekend, a track to keep this weekend with. Road America could be it. We don't know, but I'm just speaking facts here. 3 years in a row, three different tracks. I don't think that's what NASCAR wants, but I'm curious your perspective, if you think that's a big deal or not.
I think, I don't know if it's a big deal, because I don't know that outside, if you're going to take it away from Daytona, you need to find something to make it stick elsewhere. And I don't know that Indy or Road America are those answers yet, but I also don't know what other venue on the track on the circuit could be, or
right.
What
I don't have an answer.
Right, right. I don't think anyone does. But I think Road America could be it. I think they should at least go with it a second year in a row, regardless of how this race weekend goes. Stick with it another year, just to give it another chance on a July 4th date at Road America. I think, you know, it's way up north in Wisconsin. I think that helps as far as not having, you know, you're not in the sweltering southern heat like you're going to be in a couple of weeks at Atlanta. So I think having it up there can work. Let it work. Let it breathe a little bit, and maybe just try to go forward with it, with that perspective.
I just looked up the weather for Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin this weekend. Saturday, high of 83. Sunday, high of 90, but that's better than Atlanta in the heat of the summer. And I was going to suggest maybe trying out COTA next year for 4th of July, because it still has America in the name,
yep,
but it still also would be pretty damn hot, so that wouldn't be great.
Yeah, people were already complaining about the heat at the Texas All-Star race back in June, so I can't imagine COTA would be a hell of a lot better.
Hear me out. Let's celebrate the 4th of July in Canada. Thoughts?
Oh, interesting. I like it. The contrarian in me loves it, whether we go to Beausport or Montreal. Montreal, I severely missed. I just don't know how well that would go over.
No. You mean NASCAR fans wouldn't be happy about that? No way.
NASCAR fans unhappy about anything? I'm shocked.
Tom Jensen always says, NASCAR fans like two things. Or they don't like two things, excuse me. They don't like change, and they don't like the way things are.
Amen.
Amen indeed. It. All right. Let's talk a little bit about the race itself. Besides the beer, the brats, the cheese curds, the fast cars, the fireworks, probably going to see the usual road course suspects up front. You'll have Chase Elliott, most likely, his teammate Kyle Larson, Hendrick. I don't see them going anywhere really anytime soon, even though there's talk about their noses getting cut off and all that stuff. What about Martin Truex Jr., though? He's kind of fallen off the face of the earth in the last month or two. Even at Pocono, I mean, he led some laps, but he just kind of stopped out of nowhere and fell back in the pack. So what about him? I mean, he's good on road courses. Do you think we'll be able to see him run up front this weekend?
I would like to think so, but I'm really, really not convinced. Outside of winning Darlington and finishing third at Sonoma, in the last 10 races, he's finished outside the top 10. So in the last 10 races, he's finished outside the top 10 7 times. That's an absurd streak for Martin Truex Jr.
And he has three wins.
He has three wins this season. And after Darlington, I'm guilty as such. I wrote, and many others did, that he was the guy to beat for this championship because he was so good on the 750 package racetracks. And then really, really starting at Dover, he was really out to lunch. William Byron got him out, passed him for the lead pretty early in that race. And Truex just fell off to nothing. Finished 19th that day, 35th at Coda after that really bad accident where he almost got upside down. Charlotte was 29th. Nashville was 22nd. Pocono won 18th. Pocono 2, 11th. Again, he won one of the stages at Pocono this weekend, but all in all, very unimpressive. And at this point, you've got to be concerned if you're anyone on that number 19 Joe Gibbs Racing team.
In one word, or I guess two, technically. Yeah, in two words, Hendrick Motorsports or the field? Who are you taking? And we'll get to our picks in a minute here, but
yeah, you got to go Hendrick until otherwise proven.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, let's drop the checkered flag.
Checkered flag, here I come. Oh, no!
Thank you, Lightning McQueen. Checkered flag is out on the pod this week. Zach already knows what's coming up and what we're cooking up with the do's and the don'ts and the zoos and the zonts. I will go first with my do, and then I'll concede to you for your zoo. My do for this week, it's pretty simple. I'm celebrating my birthday on Friday. I'm going to be chilling at the beach with some friends, grilling out, having a good time. Cook yourself a brat. Please do. I'm a hot dog guy through and through, but I might go out of my way to cook myself a brat because when in Rome, and even though I'm not in Elkhart Lake, I might want to pretend that I am. So my do for this week is enjoy yourself a brat. And if you're vegan or you're vegetarian, I'm sure there are those options out there for you. Okay? Zach, what is your zoo?
My zoo would be enjoy this weekend. Just enjoy the weekend. It's a new backdrop for this Cup Series. To see these cars going around this racetrack, I'm super excited for it. We've seen some great racing there with the Xfinity Series in the past. I think this is going to be just another version of that, but better, really. You get to see the most talented guys in the sport take on one of the most challenging courses of the year.
Really quick, my don't is to cry for tradition, and I'm guilty of it. I mean, we talked about it earlier. I just don't want to see people complaining online saying, oh, I wish we were still at Daytona. It's like, okay, even if you do, you probably wouldn't have enjoyed your time there because you'd be sweltering and melting in a pile of heat. So just enjoy the weekend for what it is, kind of what you said. Like, it's not Daytona. It's not the tradition that you're used to. But the world is changing. The schedule is different. Good things are happening, okay? So even if you want to be at Daytona, you'll enjoy it for the regular season finale when you're not melting in a pile of your own you-know-what, okay? So don't cry for tradition. And I'm guilty of it, but I will not be crying for tradition this weekend. What is your zont, my friend?
The zont of the weekend. Don't sleep on Hendrick Motorsports this weekend. Right. I mean, that's the captain obvious in me talking here, but at the same time, I think it may be easy to forget what Kyle Larson is capable of on road courses. He had a chance to win the Daytona road course back in February. He already did win Sonoma, should have won Coda. Watch out for him, even though he's never made a lap here that I'm aware of at Road America.
All right, let's do some bets, and we'll do them quickly since my computer is about to die and my charger's in the other room, and I don't want to lose this recording. So are you ready, Zach? You know how this works. One word, rapid-fire matchups, whoever finishes higher.
Let's do it.
Brad Keselowski versus Kurt Busch.
Kurt Busch.
I'll go Brad. Ross Chastain versus Daniel Suarez.
Daniel Suarez.
I'll go Ross. He's been pretty good on road courses the past couple times. True. Matt DiBenedetto versus Ryan Preece.
Matt DiBenedetto.
He needs a good weekend. I'll ride with Matty D as well. Denny Hamlin and Joey Logano.
Denny Hamlin.
I'll do Denny as well. JGR over Penske. Ryan Blaney versus Kevin Harvick. Two guys that are not great on road courses, even though Blaney's won a race or two.
Right. I'll go Ryan Blaney.
I'll go Blaney too. I think I said they're not good on road courses, but I mean, he won the Roval and he was about to win the Clash. So I'll give my edge to Blaney there. Eric Almirola versus Ryan No Neck Newman.
Boy. Yikes. Eric Almirola.
Yeah, I think both of them are not great on road courses, but I'll give the edge to Almirola for equipment and equipment only.
That might be a, that might be a battle for 18th.
Yeah, it might be, or 28th. You never know. Here's a good battle: Chase Elliott and Kyle Larson.
I do love that battle. I'll take Chase Elliott.
I'll do Larson just to be different. He's also the underdog, so if you want to sprinkle a little bit on Larson. AJ Allmendinger versus Austin Cindric.
Another really good matchup. Give me Allmendinger.
All right, rapid fire here. Byron Bowman.
Bowman.
Truex Kyle Busch.
Truex.
All right, a little peek behind the curtain, everybody. I was worried that my computer was going to die, so I told Zach goodbye, and I went upstairs where my charger was to plug it in. But now I'm back to tell you my lock of the week and a couple other bets that I like for the week. I like my lock to be Kyle Busch, who's coming off of some momentum at Pocono, over Martin Truex Jr. And even though Truex is good at road courses, Kyle is pretty sporty himself. He's won a couple in his day, and he is the underdog, so hop on that if you haven't already. Some other bets: I like Larson over Elliott as a value pick, and I like Almirola over Ryan Newman. Blaney over Harvick as well, we talked about with Zach. Blaney's a road course specialist in his own right, and Kevin Harvick just doesn't do it for me, A, this season, and B, on road courses as well. That'll wrap things up for episode 22 of the revamped Front Stretch podcast with Daniel Hemrick on with us, and of course, my boy, my trusty pal, Zach Sterniolo, chatting Pocono with us. If you guys like what you heard here today, please do me a favor. Leave a rating and a review. Subscribe to the podcast. We're available on iTunes, Spotify, Google, usually anywhere you get your podcasts. We should be available there for your consumption. And if we're not, drop us a line and we'll try to rectify that issue for you. For Zach and Daniel Hemrick, of course, and everybody here at Front Stretch, this has been the Front Stretch Podcast. We will catch you back next week for the best seat at the track on the Front Stretch Pod.